Jays talk is upon us. The phone lines are open, so give me a call. Talk to Frank Head, and if he deems you worthy, you get to go on the radio and talk about the Blue Jays. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And again, a lot to talk about today. Devin Travis goes 2-for-4. 13 for his last 26. Justin Smoke with an RBI double, so he has 3 extra base hits in his last 4 trips to the plate. Second base now up in the air with Meiser Esturza' injury. Ryan Goins making some terrific plays on defense as well today. Steve Delabar strikes out the side in the bottom of the ninth. Jeff Francis with a nice inning, giving up only a bunt single after getting beat up a little bit his last time out. And a good, strong outing, of course, from R.A. Dickey. There are a lot of moving parts here this Blue Jays spring. And it's going to be very interesting to figure out how we put them together. And we will find that out over the course of the next couple of weeks before opening day, April 6th. Phone lines are open, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's start off our spring training Blue Jays talk with David from Stouffville. David, welcome to the program.
Nice to be back, Mike. I called a couple weeks ago, and regular occurrence, it seems.
Yeah, it's good to have you.
Thank you. You know, 2 weeks ago we lost Stroman, and that was a big punch to the gut for sure. But there's still so much to be excited about on this team, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it would be a lot better if Marcus Stroman was here. No question about that. But even without him, this is a team that can do some pretty good things this year.
No, I agree totally. Now, I'm an avid fan, as you could gather. So are you, obviously. But there's lots even to bring the casual fan back to the Blue Jay baseball. We got a possible homegrown Blue Jay starting in center field.
Uh-huh.
With Dalton Pompey from Mississauga. And we have tons of young players to watch. Young pitchers, young position players. We got Canadian players. So there's lots for the casual fan even to get back into Blue Jay baseball this season.
There's only one thing, David, that's going to bring the casual fan back into Blue Jays baseball, and that is winning.
Hopefully comes with it, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully it does. Hopefully they build on the 40-plus games that they spent in first place last year. And you know, a lot of people were starting to come back, but then they fell out of the race. And the problem is in Toronto that it's just so easy to believe that the roof is going to fall in any minute now, and that's because of the Leafs. It might even be because of what's happened with the Raptors, though they seem to have rebounded out of that right now. But I honestly do blame it a lot on the Leafs and a lot on a couple of the little glimpses from the Blue Jays last year and in 2009 when they started 27-14 and were out of the race by July. It's going to take a lot for people to be willing to give their hearts to a Blue Jays team in a city that's been so disappointed by so many of its sports teams over the course of the last couple of decades. But I have a fervent hope that that's what happens.
And I as well, Mike. I as well. I have a question. Danny Valencia spent some time in the outfield in a couple of spring training games to just see what he can do and sort of extend his versatility, I guess, on the field.
Sure.
What do you think about having Toley pick up a first baseman's mitt and getting a couple of reps if he can? If he's going to spend some time on the roster, he might as well, as a lefty hitter, perhaps extend his versatility and maybe get some extra at-bats in and see what he can do at first base over in spring training. I don't know what you think about that.
Honestly, I don't know why you would give any first base at-bats to Josh Toley. I mean, yeah, it's nice for a guy to be versatile. It's true, and it's nice that in an absolute emergency you have someone who can do that. But personally, I'm not looking to get Josh Toley any extra at-bats. I think there are much, much, much better offensive options and a lot of other people who will even be on the bench, even if Toley is here. So that's, for me, that was not even on the radar.
Yeah, I guess. That's something I was thinking about. One other point, if I have time. What I was thinking about watching the first couple innings, our top of the lineup, 1 through 5, 1 through 6, there could be some long innings for some starting pitchers this year that we're facing. And I think that bodes well for the lower half of the lineup, where the 7, 8, 9, if we can tire out the starting pitcher, and those batters could face some pitches of less quality, I guess, that might help their performance. That tends to be the bottom of our lineup, obviously. It's always question marks, but it's just a thought I had today.
Well, you got to remember too, and I think a lot of people sort of get wrapped up, and I appreciate the call a lot, David, in the bottom of the lineup being made up of weaker hitters, and this seems like a Captain Obvious thing to say. The bottom of the lineup is made up of weaker hitters on every team in the major leagues. That's why they hit at the bottom of the lineup. And yes, the Blue Jays 7, 8, 9 is going to be weaker than the Blue Jays top 5, top 6, but every team 7, 8, 9 is weaker than its top 5, and the Blue Jays happen to have one of the top, maybe the best top 5 in the game. And I don't think that Dalton Pompey, whoever's playing first, or Michael Saunders, whether they hit 6th or 7th, and whoever's playing 2nd is going to be that bad. I think the Blue Jays have a very good hitting team, and it would surprise me if they can stay healthy. Well, it would surprise everybody if they can stay healthy given their given the history of this franchise. But if they can stay healthy, it would surprise me if this was not a top 5 or even a top 3 team in the major leagues in runs scored. I don't think they have a thing to worry about offensively, to be honest. Doug in Sudbury. Doug, you're next on Blue Jays Talk. Go ahead.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Good, thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, I heard during the broadcast you're talking about a bullpen, and there's a lot of question marks. Obviously, Steve Dellavar did, you know, 3 strikeouts at the bottom of the ninth there. What do you think his chances are this year of actually making his team ready to spring training, and what's his velocity been like?
I think Steve Dellavar's chances of making the team out of spring training is 100%. I don't foresee any situation in which Steve Dellavar doesn't make this team and isn't a quality arm in the back of the bullpen. So the velocity has been around mid-90s. I didn't look at the gun today when he was pitching, but I've seen a lot of 94s over the course of the spring. Again, it's not about velocity. It's about command, and it's about making people think your splitter's a fastball after you've gotten ahead with your fastball. And Steve Dellavar's been very, very good so far this spring.
Perfect. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate the call. Yeah, somebody asked me on Twitter as well what Steve Dellavar's chances of making this team are. Steve Dellavar's on this team. I don't think there's any question about that. Blue Jays beat the Phillies 6-3. Dellavar works the bottom of the ninth, strikes out the side. Dave is in Toronto. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling. Quick
questions here. I had one that I'll head into after, but just given that you just mentioned the history of this franchise and injuries, you know, things like his tourist tripping on the dugout steps last year and Stroman fielding ground balls, you know, last week. It kind of begs the question of, you know, is there anything they're not doing that they should be doing to take better care of these guys? I mean, you can't stop a guy like Pillar from sneezing. But, I mean, things are going to happen inevitably, but when over, you know, a long period of time, one franchise seems to have considerably, you know, more difficulty than some others in staying healthy, you know, is there anything they're not doing? And I'm not, you know, trying to blame the training staff or the coaches or anybody else, but, you know, one's got to ask the question of, what can be done to keep the players on the field?
Yeah, and it's a valid question to ask. I think that because we're so close to it, because we pay so much more attention to the Blue Jays than we do to any other team in the major leagues, we really think that, man, no other team is getting lit up like this. But there are a lot of other teams that have very, very similar. Texas Rangers set a record last year for time spent on the DL, I believe. So the Blue Jays are certainly not alone in this. But what you said off the top, I mean, you can't stop Kevin Pillar from sneezing. You can't stop Marcus Stroman from taking a bad step. And, you know, there's not, it's not that anything in the Blue Jays training methods didn't make his ligament strong enough, and it was a freak injury, just like Michael Saunders was a freak injury, just like Meister Estura's last year slipping down the dugout steps was a freak injury. You can't put these guys in bubbles. You know, it's unfortunate. I think there are things you can do. There is, and I'd love to talk to a medical professional about this, and someone who's done some serious research into sports injuries. But there's got to be something you can do to stem the tide of these oblique injuries, and that's what seems to be the most common thing that's going to step up and bite a player and cost him time. And the Blue Jays really haven't had any of that other than the Kevin Pillar sneeze. Nothing that could have been done to prevent Ramon Santiago from breaking his collarbone. These aren't injuries aren't the result of a lack of conditioning or strength when you look at the kind of injuries that they've been suffering.
Just tough luck.
Yeah, it sucks, but that's basically what it is.
Yeah. No. One other question, Mike, and then I'll hang up and listen to your comments. I want to ask you about an intangible that's, you know, hard for us as fans back in TO to really get a good gauge on during spring training, you know, listening to the games on the radio and catching the odd one on TV when they're on. And that is, you know, what's been talked about a lot over the course of the last couple seasons in chemistry and, you know, perhaps as important or more important character in the clubhouse. So as a guy that's now spent, you know, a good few weeks with the team and around the players, I'm wondering if you're seeing any signs of these guys starting to gel as a team. You know, we've got a lot of new faces and, you know, a few departed as well. And, you know, whether we're looking at addition by addition or perhaps a little bit of addition by subtraction as well, I'm wondering what the signs are that you're looking for, you know, some chemistry and character in the clubhouse starting to emerge and whether or not you're seeing them. So I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, Mike.
All right, that's a very, very difficult question to answer for me or for anybody else. I'm of the firm belief, and always have been, that the players will only show you what they want you to see. You know, there are times when the clubhouse is closed to media. There are areas that they can go to where we can't follow, and which is fine. I don't have an issue with that. Players, we shouldn't be buzzing around them all the time. But you don't necessarily find out the truth about how these guys get along or the personality beyond what they want to show. And certainly being in the clubhouse and watching interactions can lead me and other people who are on the beat and around them all the time to kind of see who they are when the cameras are off, some of it, but they're not going to show you everything. And team chemistry, you know, as soon as you're traded to a team or sign with a team or go to a team, however you get here, you're on that team. Everyone's your teammate. You're all a band of brothers, as it were, at this level. And we'll are happy to stand up for or fight with everybody on your team. But it's, for me, winning and losing that create a chemistry or a lack thereof. If the Blue Jays had won five more games last year, no one would have been talking about the clubhouse chemistry and the people in there and, you know, anything, because they would have been in the playoffs. They didn't, and the fact that they lost the way they did and they fell out of the race and that August was so terrible, it revealed the losing some of the true colors of some of the guys. That had this team kept winning, it would have been, you know, the chemistry would have remained wonderful and everybody would have loved each other. So I really think that the true test of character and the true test of who you are and what you have as a team comes when you're going through those rough times, and we haven't gotten close to that yet. And when that does happen, because it's going to, remember, a 90-win team loses 4 out of every 9 games it plays. When the losing starts, how's the team going to react? What are we going to see out of Russell Martin? What are we going to see out of Josh Donaldson? What are we going to see out of Jose Bautista? Those are the things that's when we'll find out. You know, the rough times are the true test of character. Thank you for the call. Blue Jays beat the Phillies 6-3 in spring training action. They are 11-8 on the spring. Eddie is in Fort Erie. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good, thanks. What's up?
Well, I just wanted to talk about a comment that you and Joe Siddle made earlier in the pregame show about the possible rotation. I really like it because, for me personally, this first series is all about setting the tone for the Blue Jays. And I don't, and by that I mean you got to start off on the right foot and throw in a guy like Hutchinson, who I think pitches with ice water in his veins. I mean, he did that all year. He even proved me wrong. You know that because I saw something and and you know that he pitched better. You know, from that game in Detroit when I called. Remember that one?
No. I apologize.
The pep talk.
But pardon me?
The pep talk call. Remember?
Yes. No. Yes. You know what? I know you're a regular caller, Eddie, and I know you're on all the time. But I got to tell you. Doing 200 of these a year, there's almost no way I remember individual calls.
Okay. Oh, okay, I'll just say like this. I like the order. As long as we keep Brilliant in New York, that's fine with me. And you know what? And you said it earlier. The Blue Jays, I think, you know, have something to prove after not, you know, making the playoffs and having a bad August. I think they've got unfinished business this season. I really do.
Well, I think they've had unfinished business for 3 years, and hopefully they can finish it this year and get to the postseason, and that would be great. And, yeah, as far as the rotation goes, Hutchinson, Dickey, Norris, Burley, Sanchez, I like it too, not necessarily because of what you said about Hutchinson, though you're right. He is unflappable on the mound, and his that demeanor never changes, and he's a very, very good pitcher, which is the most important thing out of the whole bunch. I like the fact that the Blue Jays are thinking this way, that they're thinking beyond, okay, who's our number one? He's got to pitch opening day. Mark Burley is definitely one of our top three pitchers, so he's got to go in that series in New York, those sorts of things. They're not thinking that way. They're thinking, we're going to keep Burley out of New York. We want Hutchinson to pitch in Baltimore, but we don't want him to skip New York, so he has to pitch in the opener. And it doesn't matter that R.A. Dickey has thrown opening day the last two games. He's going to pitch in the second game because that's the best way overall for this team to win. We want a lefty in New York because we want to turn around Carlos Beltran and Mark Teixeira so they don't have that short porch to aim at. And we want a weapon against Jacoby Ellsbury and Brian McCann and Stephen Drew, so Daniel Norris is going to start in New York. And I love the way the Blue Jays are thinking in putting the starting rotation together that way, looking for every marginal edge that they can get. And that's going to be so important over the course of the season. Spring training Blue Jays talk continues with Tony in London. Tony, you're up.
Hello, Mike.
Hello.
See Russell Martin catch Dickey today, another step forward towards not having a personal catcher for Dickey, if that is going to be the case. Although in the recent years, it seems like every knuckleball starter's had a personal catcher. But when you have a number one like Russell Martin, you have to use him. And with that, that clears out a spot on the bench, which is, just four players. And who makes the fourth outfield? That's a problem where you're going to have you want a right-handed bat to platoon with
Saunders.
Saunders, yes, Saunders, or the Saunders face lefties as well as the right-handers, and the middle infield is quite crowded. Although Lord knows all the injuries have thinned them out quite a bit. But I think the idea of having a Navarro catch, not just having the situation where you had Toley would give Navarro a day off when Dickey would pitch, but just how many games does Russell Martin catch this year?
I think they'd like him to catch about 125, 130. And if they have him catch 130, then Josh Toley can catch R.A. Dickey. I agree with you that your number one has to be able to catch everybody. And I think that Russ Martin has shown that he can catch R.A. Dickey. And in talking to him after the game, he kind of bristled at the idea of keeping Josh Toley here to catch Dickey. He said that he's comfortable. Dickey is saying all the right things about Russ Martin. But I think when it comes down to it, you have to remember how much of a burden it is to catch that knuckleballer, how much it takes out of a catcher, no matter how great a receiver he is, how athletic back there he is. Well, Russ Martin is a phenomenal receiver and a phenomenal defensive catcher and a great athlete behind the plate. It still takes a lot out of you to catch that knuckleballer, and for me, I would rather Martin not have to deal with that. Now, D'Honor Navarro being here complicates things tremendously. You do not want three catchers, especially if Russ Martin is going to be your primary catcher and basically catch four out of every 5 days with Toley catching R.A. Dickey for as long as Dickey's in there, and then Martin gets in as soon as Dickey comes out. And Navarro, for me, is not a DH. You can do better than that offensively in that position, and I want Edwin Encarnacion off the field, especially having watched Justin Smoke and Derek Barton play defense. So it's a really, really, really tough call. And I think, like, the injuries to Esturs and Santiago have kind of relieved a bit of that pressure in the middle infield, I think dealing D'Honor Navarro will relieve some of that pressure behind the plate. I just hope they can find a deal.
Well, that was the I think Alex Anthopoulos was working on that during the winter when they got
Oh, he's
Russell
still
Martin.
Working on that. He's still working on that.
One other question, Mike. I should know the answer to this. I've been a
Seven.
Fan long enough. But the season we lose, Stroman loses, that counts against his service time?
Yep.
And that's 1 year out of the six gone like that. I figured that was the case, and that's really, I think that's maybe more than just this season, not having him for this season. It's the fact that we lose one of the 6 years that he has before free agency. Well, thank you for taking my call, Mike.
Okay, I appreciate it. I am not worried about 2020 just yet. That's Marcus Stroman. That will be his final year of team control. But you know what? If he comes back from the surgery and continues being Marcus Stroman, I can see the two sides getting together to lock him up for an awfully long time. Dave in Hamilton, as we continue on Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Dave, listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I'm just wondering about what the chances of Drabeck making the roster, the opening day roster in the bullpen.
I would say not good, but, you know, it goes back to him being out of options. And he's pitched all right this spring. He hasn't really been overwhelming or anything like that. But he's just been all right, and there have been other guys who have been better. I know they want to keep the asset. At some point, it becomes taking the best 25. And at this point, I haven't seen enough of Kyle Drabeck. He's pitched a lot while I've been down in the clubhouse. I don't know. I would say the odds are against Kyle Drabeck being on this team. Appreciate all the calls. We will take more of your calls on the other side when we let the network go at the bottom of the hour, but stay on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. The Blue Jays beat the Phillies 6-3. It is the Honda Postgame Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Lean back, crack a cold one, and listen to the game. Sure, even if you are at work. This is Toronto Blue Jays Baseball on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Well, back here at Bright House Field in Clearwater, the Blue Jays beat the Phillies 6-3. Devin Travis, 2-for-4. Jose Bautista, Jose Reyes, and Josh Donaldson all hit home runs. RBI double for Justin Smoke in his only trip. R.A. Dickey pitched six innings, doesn't give up an earned run. Steve Delabar strikes out the side in the bottom of the ninth to pick up his first save of the spring. So a red-letter day for your Toronto Blue Jays. And tomorrow, much fun will ensue as well. Tomorrow is a 12:37 start time for the Blue Jays as they host the Tampa Bay Rays. So we'll be on the air at 12:30, quick little pregame, and then get going with the ball game. Marco Estrada is going to start it, but he will be followed by Miguel Castro and Roberto Osuna. They both pitch just like they both pitched Tuesday night in Tampa against the Yankees. Another test for these two 20-year-olds that everybody around the ball club is so excited about. Castro appears as though he has locked down a spot on this team, and Roberto Osuna, recovering still from his 2013 Tommy John surgery, is not that far behind at all. Lefty Everett Tiefert is going to get the start for the for the Tampa Bay Rays. The game's on TV with Buck Martinez and Joe Siddle, so we'll have a rotating crew of analysts in here to take over for Joe. One of them will be lefty Aaron Loop. And again, we're on at 12:30. Make sure you tune in. Blue Jays talk will continue on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. You've been listening to Home Hardware. Blue Jays baseball brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry, Joe, Tom, Head, and Calhoun, bye-bye.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Deep to left field, hooking down the line. That is up, it is hooking, and there she goes. A first pitch home run off the bat of Jose Reyes. His first spring training home run, and with that, the Blue Jays are definitely in play here, leading 1-0.
First pitch of the ball game finds the seats. Two batters later, Jose Bautista went deep as well. And then in the sixth inning, Josh Donaldson joined the party. Three home runs for the Blue Jays in their 6-3 win over the Philadelphia Phillies. Three home runs for the Blue Jays yesterday in their 11-5 win over the Rays. Two of those from Justin Smoke, the other from Ryan Goins. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. And we're taking your calls. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Christopher, you're in Sudbury, and you're on Blue Jays Talk. Go right ahead.
Hey, Mike, long-time listener and first-time caller.
Cool. Welcome.
Yeah, before I ask my question, I just want to let all of you guys know that you're doing a fantastic job up there, and it has truly been a treat to listen to you over these past few weeks, and hopefully there's a lot better times throughout the whole season.
Very swell of you to say. I appreciate that.
Yeah, now, just coming off of all of your expertise, I was just wondering what Navarro's trade value would be. Would a guy like Brad Ziegler on the Arizona Diamondbacks be a decent trade? Would that be something the Jays would be looking for? Or would we want, you know, more young guys with a bit more upside?
Ziegler makes a lot of sense, and he did back in the winter. I thought originally that you would go for someone who's not making as much money, who has a little bit more control. But at this point, I think you just want to clear out that logjam. And obviously, if that trade was there to be made, I think it would have been by now. And I think that the Blue Jays are just still kind of waiting until the teams that they think are looking for catching or teams that have expressed interest are willing to meet their price. I'd like to do a little bit better than Brad Ziegler for 1 year of an everyday catcher. But that's not unreasonable.
Now, do you know what Detroit was offering us for Navarro? Because I heard a lot of reports that he was up on the block and that Detroit was really into it when I think Victor Martinez went down as their DH.
Yeah, no, I don't think that was ever really true. I don't even know if they got to the stage of exchanging offers. And I think what probably happens is you, or not you necessarily, but people kind of get a a glimmer of a hint of something, and all of a sudden it's, oh, these teams are really in deep negotiations. The story that came out last month about the Tigers was that the Tigers had discussed Deonner Navarro, not that they discussed it with the Blue Jays. So I don't think they ever really got down that road.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Okay. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Dom in Woodbridge. You're up next on Blue Jays Talk. Welcome aboard.
Hi, Mike. Thanks so much for taking my call. So,
thank you.
Off the bat, I want to say I'm a Jays fan. I'm also a Rogers shareholder. What I'm going to talk about is a little bit different than what the rest of the callers are calling in about. I'm calling in about home games during Canadian-specific holiday events. There are three of them during the summer: Victoria Day, Civic Day, and Canada Day. And
Simcoe Day.
Forgive me. Thank you. So,
okay.
Nonetheless, three holidays.
The Blue Jays are home on all of them this year.
Yes, which is a rarity.
Yeah.
Usually we end up getting one, two, and when I say we, I'm a Rogers shareholder, so that's why I get to use the pronoun. So, nonetheless.
Well, we, the fans, wind up getting it.
We as a fan, and we as a shareholder also get revenue, which is a good thing. Now, nonetheless, the revenue from each game represents about $720,000 from the workup that I've done, and I base it off of a roughly 13,000 fan attendance on a non-holiday Monday versus a sold-out holiday Monday. So it represents a fair amount. And it seems to be almost up to the whim of Major League Baseball to decide whether or not the Jays get all three. What I would say is I would like to see it made so that on any year when a schedule is made in a way so that the Jays are away on one of those 3 days, essentially a swap is made. It would represent a lot more to the Jays in terms of revenue. It would even represent a little bit to the road team because they would get a weekend or a Monday date that might mean a little bit more to them. For example, should the Jays ever be home on Memorial Day? I would say no. We call it Monday. They call it Memorial Day, and vice versa for Victoria Day. So what I'm hoping is if change isn't made at the Major League level, I'm hoping you can champion it the same way you championed Tom Cheek once upon a time. I thought that was an amazing thing, and I was totally behind it. I'd like to see this happen as well. It would make Jays fans happy. It would make me happy as a shareholder.
Well, I think it would make Jays fans happy, too. And the Blue Jays are allowed to request certain home games. And I don't know if they all... I mean, I know they always request Canada Day. I don't know if they always request Victoria Day and the Simcoe Day, the August civic holiday. But you're right. They should never be home on Memorial Day, and they should always be home on Victoria Day. And I don't know that... You know, once a schedule comes out, it comes out. You can't really make a swap after that happens, but I'm sure that
once with the Phillies when the Jays had the issues at home,
that was because of the G8, though. That was because of security threats that they didn't swap that. They just moved the series, and the Blue Jays only played 78 home games that year.
Understood, but there's a precedent, and it would be a mutually beneficial precedent.
That's not a real precedent.
Well,
it's not.
It's a corollary.
It's not. It's two complete. It's apples and oranges. It's two entirely and completely different things. You know, if there's a threat to the security of the people watching the game, then games will be moved. Wanting a game at your place on a holiday, it does not cover the same.
Yeah, understood. But arguing the inverse doesn't necessarily make that compelling. I'm not saying that you are, but if one were to argue the inverse, that doesn't necessarily make an equally compelling or more compelling argument. There are too many pros and, to me, virtually very few cons.
Look, I'm not disagreeing with you, and I think the Blue Jays should fight very, very hard every year to make sure that there's a home game on each of those 3 days, but I think that's really the extent of it. I appreciate the call. We've spent too much time on this already. You're right. They should be home on those 3 days, and Major League Baseball should make sure they're at home on those 3 days, and if Major League Baseball isn't aware, and they may well not be, the Blue Jays should really make them aware. And, you know, maybe at the next shareholders meeting, it's something you might want to bring up. Jamie is in Etobicoke. Hello, Jamie.
Hello. How are you doing?
I am well, thank you.
I was wondering what you would think if Castro would close and keep Brett Cecil in the situation that he was pitching last year, as well as Loop and Delabar.
I think it's a little too early for that. I think Miguel Castro may make his way into that. But, you know, let's just remember that he's never thrown a pitch above a ball before, and he's 20 years old. The next pitch he throws in the major leagues will be his first. And as great as he's looked, I don't know if you want to throw him to the Wolves quite like that quite yet. And also, I kind of like the idea of if he's going to wind up being as effective as it looks like he might be, leaving him in that sort of Aaron Sanchez role last year, where last year we saw Sanchez come in and pitch the seventh and eighth a lot of the time. And often that can be more important than the ninth inning.
Is he capable of going more than one inning?
He's a starter still.
Oh,
he pitched 2 2/3 innings his last time out, and I think he's scheduled to pitch 3 tomorrow.
Wow, okay. I was also wondering, Chad Jenkins, do you think he's going to make the starting squad this year?
Nope.
Really?
Chad Jenkins has options. Do I think he deserves to be on the team? Absolutely. Do I think he can help the team? Yes. Do I think the team has other things to worry about option-wise? Unfortunately, yes, I think they do. And I think that, once again, Chad Jenkins is going to be a victim of the numbers, and he's going to be coming back and forth from Buffalo all year long.
Okay, just one more small question. Now, Navarro and Drabek, I heard you earlier say that Drabek probably isn't going to make the team. He's out of options. What about putting those two guys together for a trade?
I don't know that Drabek has any trade value. I don't think he does have any trade value. He hasn't pitched in the major leagues in a significant way in 3 years. He hasn't been lighting it up in the minors either. He hasn't been. He's had two Tommy John surgeries. So, I don't really think there's anything you can get. I don't think throwing Kyle Drabek into a Deonor Navarro trade really moves the needle on that one way or the other. I appreciate the call. I want to sneak one more in before we go. Rob in Aurora. Rob, you got 30 seconds.
Hey, it was good to meet you, Mike, down at spring training earlier. And I'm back up here freezing my derriere off anyway.
Well, I'm glad you got a chance to be down here for a bit.
It was awesome. So Osuna, if he goes down to Buffalo, he starts, right?
Yes. And it might be New Hampshire.
That's true.
It might be here, and he might stay here in Dunedin.
Yeah. Who do you see being depth starters in Buffalo other than, I guess, Ricky, because he's supposedly coming back from those knee injuries, but who else is going to be down there starting for Buffalo?
Well, Ricky Romero hasn't even thrown yet this spring, so it's going to take a while for him to be a depth starter. I think it may be Jeff Francis down there, Andrew Albers, Randy Wolf, Liam Hendricks, if he gets through waivers. Guys like that, I think, will be the depth starters. But Marco Estrada is also a depth starter, and he's here on the major league team. And you never know. If the need arises, it could be Roberto Osuna come up to make a couple of starts and then go back down. I certainly would not put it past them at this point. He's shown enough that if you really need a guy for a short-term thing, I'd love to see it. I would love to see it. And I'm looking forward to seeing Osuna tomorrow and Miguel Castro tomorrow and having you all join us again. And we'll Blue Jays talk it up again tomorrow, more than likely as well. Remember, we're on the air at 12:30 for a 12:37 first pitch. It's an early game tomorrow. So we'll have it for you. Blue Jays and the Tampa Rays. Marco Estrada to be followed by Castro and Osuna against the Rays and Everett Tiefert. Hockey Nation pregame with Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne's coming up next. Thanks to Tom Young, Brian Calhoun, Frank Head, and all of you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.